Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this very beautiful 10th day of February 2019. We're going to be looking at one of our dearest friends in the psychobabble of our life, self-righteousness. We're going to talk about being right. It's a tough one. It really is. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as our TV programs that you see on our Aspire website at aspire.org, and all of the things I do to serve humankind, including my hospice work, is supported solely and entirely upon you, the listening audience. Yes, it is through your tax-deductible donations becoming sponsors that I am allowed to do the work I'm doing. And so I'm hoping that some of you listening to my voice will have the insight and the understanding, the heart to become a sponsor. A sponsor is a person who gives either a monthly or a quarterly donation. You can start at $50 a quarter. That's $200 a year. That is just really nothing compared probably to the money we waste on all sorts of things. And in this giving, it will pay for airtime. It will do so many more things with my work at hospice and all of the things that I do for Aspire and in Aspire as Aspire. So I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor. And for this, you get some really nice goodies if you're the kind of person who, like myself and others, who are looking for something above the pay grade of the pedestrian mentality. And if you're that kind of person, then you're going to find this very, very meaningful. You'll get the message of the month. You'll have access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries that I do twice a month, and they are nothing to be sneezed at, believe me. You will also have access to 120 of my TV discourses that I did over the years. They're there for you on all of the subjects I did, Passing Through the Fires, Nobody Likes You Anyway, just to name a couple. The Tao, From the Heart of the Tao, that was wonderful. The Sound of One Hand Clapping. We Know Not What We Do, that was a very powerful series I did, as well as on A Life Worth Living, which was about Socrates and his beautiful work and what does it mean to have a life worth living. All of this is there for you as a sponsor. So I hope that you will become one. Go to the website, please, at aspire.org. There you will see why support Aspire. It's down at the bottom. It will clue you in on everything that your donations will do, and it will do a great deal for a lot of people, and you can sign up and be with me there. Self-righteousness, having or characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded certainty, that one has that they are totally correct and morally superior. How about that? Self-righteousness. Now, who wouldn't like to have that? I mean, really, there are a lot of people that would love to have that kind of modality of self-righteousness. So we're going to talk a little bit about it because it is the bane of our existence when it comes to our ego, our hubris. It is our hubris, and it is what generates so much pain and sorrow. The first question comes from Craig. He does not tell me where he lives. Exactly, Greg, you talk about self-righteousness. I'm not sure I understand it. What is self-righteousness, Craig? Well, I gave you a definition of it. But let's talk about why it's there, because that's really what you're asking. Why is this whole idea of self-righteousness there? It is there because my ego wants it there. My ego is the whole totality of self-righteousness. In fact, we see it in politics. We see it in people who are in the movie industry. We see it all over the place in athletes. Self-righteousness is the old ego, and we use this self-righteousness to kind of vivify and clarify and dignify are actions that are not so kind or loving. And most of the time, self-righteousness is about getting me off the hook for something I've done, and I don't really want to take a deep look at it, but there it is staring me in the face. And no matter how much self-righteousness I may have in the course of my lifetime, it isn't going to change anything. Self-righteousness, of course, one would say is a defense mechanism, but it goes even further than that. For most people, self-righteousness is their identity. They can't be that wrong. There is something about being wrong in our culture, in our society, and our culture is based on self-righteousness, in my opinion. We tend to lose face and pride. And pride is the absolute breath of the human ego. It really is. And self-righteousness, well, that is a part of that pride. So you have to ask yourself the question, what is my pride? How far will I go to sustain the measure of my pride? How far will you go? What if you found out that you were wrong about everything? I mean, about everything. That's this basis, the beginning basis of an authentic spiritual practice, where you suddenly realize, I suddenly realize, we all suddenly realize, that how we are perceiving this life through the precepts and the concepts of our biases, that nothing we are seeing is real, nothing we are seeing is right. Really, think about it. What if you could realize everything you've done has been wrong? What would happen to you? How would you live with yourself? People live with themselves with a sense of pride, and they live in that pride, and they allow that pride to be everything for them. That pride is why they do anything, even the most minute thing. They do it out of a sense of pride. Even keeping a clean house, I have seen people be very prideful of. They're proud of their children, their grandchildren, their whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. And we think that in this pride that we have, that we've done something amazing, that maybe our kids didn't turn out to be, what my mother used to call it, ne'er-do-wells. I used to laugh when my mother would say things like that when I was a kid. I didn't know what a ne'er-do was, and I don't even care. I looked it up. It's, you know, someone who's, quote-unquote, we would say in our vernacular, a loser. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. And yet, there we are. We live, we move, we have our being in a sense of pride. This pride that we have is our self-righteousness. And we use self-righteousness as a way to sustain the idea that we could not only never be wrong and that we're always right, but that we are essential in this world, essential to our family and friends. If you find out that everything you've done in your life has been basically wrong, then what? Then, I mean, how do you live the next moment? People can only live according to their sense of self-righteousness, and that's where it all comes in. Craig, it's a very big, ugly disease in us, this thing called self-righteousness, and it never goes away. We want to be adorized for it. We want congratulations. We want to be respected, and this respect means that we think of ourselves as good as or better than others, like it says here in the definition, correct or morally superior. We don't want to be okay or good or kind. We wouldn't want to be merciful. We want to be self-righteous. And if it is the difference between being self-righteous or being merciful and kind, which one do you think we'd choose? I mean, really, which one? It's very important that I'm right so I can control my life and I can maybe con you into believing that I'm right, so we don't have to do any self-examination either. So the whole thing is just about keeping the status quo of my life, the status quo of my living. And that's really all it is for us. Nothing more, nothing less. This is the way we live. This is the way we move and have our being in this world. And self-righteousness gives us a higher moral superiority. And we like feeling that. That way we're better than everyone else, even though we eat and sleep and poop and pee and bleed like anyone else. Just living merely as human beings for the most part, never awakening to what is really the authentic that lives within us. There you go, Craig. Hope it helps. Sure it didn't. Please forgive me. Namaste. People who ask questions like this are usually not looking for authenticity. They're looking for some way to look at themselves, a definition of themselves, say, well, I don't do that, so I must not be very self-righteous, but we all are. Here's the next one from Nancy in Santa Barbara. I used to live in Santa Barbara. I grew up there. Is it spiritual to be right? Nancy from Santa Barbara. Is it spiritual? I don't even know what that means. Everything is spiritual. Your dog and its poop is spiritual. Everything is spiritual one way or another. So when you're asking questions like this, I am stunned. That's what I am. I'm stunned. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can think of anything not being spiritual or answering to the spiritual, because Nancy, everything answers to the spiritual. Everything in this world is answering to the spiritual. Everything. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It is going to have, shall we say, consequences to it that I don't probably want to see, but they are consequences anyway. And I'm going to have to live with those consequences. And they will manifest more and more and more out of a realm that we do not appreciate called the spiritual. Now, you ask, is it spiritual to be right? Rightness has nothing to do with spirituality. Let me tell you the fast track to this, okay? It'll help you. Buddha said it better than anyone I know. You have to want nothing with all of your heart. Now that is authentically spiritual. To want nothing, no thing with all of your heart. There is no thing and there is nothing. The no thing is an object. The nothing is I want no return. I want no favorism. I want no reward, something like that. When you are not interested in what you can get for what you can give, you have come into the realm of the spiritual. And this goes beyond being right or self-righteous. What did Jesus say? That our righteousness had to exceed those of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people of the day, the rulers of the day. And so that is the bigger part of what it means to have a sense of kindness. I'll tell you what needs to happen here. And Nancy, if you can replace your rightness, your need to be right, with mercy, you have achieved a great deal. You have achieved what is most important in this lifetime. You have achieved a great deal. Righteousness is love. Righteousness is mercy. And most people who make value judgments based on the bias of their pretense, their beliefs, their genetics, have no way of doing anything I just shared with you. They have no way of doing it. They're supporting the ego. They're supporting their persona. They're trying to support their whole life as a person with self-righteousness and the supposed indignation of thinking of themselves as anything less than what they admire themselves for. It's craziness, absolute utter craziness. If you think about the great spiritual masters, from Lhasa to Buddha to Jesus, they all three teach Mahavir, Krishna. They, even the contemporaries like Nisargadatta, they all teach one thing. And I remember a discourse that Krishnamurti did on this very subject when I was in India. It was magnificent. It is about humility. They all teach humility, that we must first find that humility within us and then realize the love that we are. But very few people are into humility. They don't want to be humble and they don't want to be humiliated. They just don't want to do it. And we go through a great deal of, you know, embarrassing moments, belittling moments in our mind to humble ourselves. But it is only our mind. You see, the bar, Nancy, is self-righteousness. You can't be embarrassed by being wrong. And if you're wrong, you should feel ashamed of yourself. It brings about shame. This is not going to help you. This is just my hubris, my ego, in doing things saying, well, gee whiz, they found out that you don't know diddly squat about very much. So now they won't respect you. Now they won't like you. Now you won't, you'll be alone for the rest of your life and nobody will ever love you and all that stuff. The mind always is going to extremes, always extremes. We are a society of extremes. In fact, our culture as people has been extreme. Extreme music, extreme sports, extreme entertainment, everything goes to, I don't know why, Hollywood is fascinated with showing us people throwing up in movies. I mean, it's explicit. I mean, really? We have to go to that extreme? I have to see somebody puking in a toilet? Don't you find that a bit over the top? Hell no. People are, no, we like that. That's really cool. It's unbelievable what we've come to. And when I see it in movies, I just sit there and shake my head and wonder, what are we all about? We want to make this as real as possible. Real is within me. And if I don't get the movie, the book, whatever, even what I'm saying to you, and feel the reality of it within myself, it's relative only to my emotionality. Real, authentic real, has nothing to do with my emotionality. Reality is a state of being. And when you're in that state of being, really in it, and you are no longer thinking in terms of good and bad and right and wrong and up and down and in and out, when you're not looking at what will aggrandize the ego and give you what you think of as the respect you deserve for the state of your life, that is when you can drop being right. You don't need to be right. Am I right this morning here on radio? Well, that's up to you. If you think it's wrong, then it's wrong. If you think it's right, you think it's right. I don't care either way. It is not my motivation to teach you what is right. My motivation is to share with you what I have found and how it has affected my life and the life of some of my students, who few of them has been very diligent. We cling to the worst part of ourselves all the time. It amazes me that all this great beauty that lives inside of every single person I've ever met has been overshadowed by feelings of inadequacy, of hate and fear. and feeling that maybe there's something deeply, deeply wrong with them that can't be corrected or healed or whatever. It's just amazing to me. Nancy, give up right. Go into humble. Do everything you can from the point of view of how may I serve you? How may I help you? Look in people and serve the goodness of them. Not their arrogance, not their pride, not their vanity. Always serve the goodness in them. Speak to that goodness within them. And though they may not hear it, though they may not understand it, though they may think you're nuttier than a fruitcake, just do it anyway, because it may help them, but it also will help you. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Lisa in Los Angeles. What can I do when I feel guilt about being wrong? It hurts me so much and is embarrassing. Lisa. Lisa, honey, we're all wrong. From one moment to the next, the way we live, the way we think, what we believe, we're wrong. It is so interesting. My eyes see something one way. My ears will hear it another way. My ears will hear things this way. My eyes will say, no, that's not true. It's that way. We're always split. We're a mixed bag. And if you take your life from the perceptions of your physicality, your humanness, your ego, you will develop within yourself all sorts of ideas and ideals that have nothing to do with the truth or the reality of any given subject. This is called being human. But you and I have to operate out of something other than what is human. And if I don't operate outside the human experience, if I only say things like this to myself, I'm only human, then I will have no chance of reaching the depths of a great love. There is an intelligence within you, within me, within everyone, that exceeds the way in which we think. It is called love. And if you can live in that love, for the sake of love itself, if you can live in the kindness of that love, in the intelligence of that love, that is all you need. This love does not come from my emotionality. It comes from the state of the heart, and that is the problem. We will spend hours and hours and hours researching and doing what we have to do to make a good impression on people. And basically, it is heartless. All it is about impressing people in order to have them either give us something we want or gain their respect, which is also something we want. So eventually, you have to get down to the nitty-gritty. Can I do those things that serve the heart of people? The heart of humankind. Can I do those things that are the way, the truth, and the light? Can I? Some people are willing, some are not. Some will do it, some won't. It all depends on the level of your consciousness, whether or not you have consciousness. And if you have developed consciousness, then you will do it. If you have not developed consciousness and you don't understand the value of it, you probably won't. So it's all about the spiritual, dear. Don't feel bad for being wrong. I never feel bad about things like that. You just bow, humble yourself, get up, dust yourself off, and then ask yourself one question. What was I not true to within me? And if you are conscious, you will see it is only that you were not true to your heart. And that is the only thing that matters. In this lifetime, it is to find the heart. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I am. Thank you for a beautiful weekend. I'll be back with you next weekend. Go to the website at aspire.org. There's many more radio programs there for you. And they've all been made due to the sponsorship of my friends. And I'm deeply grateful. Please enjoy. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.